We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the Migs Cast. I am Steve Migs. I'm here with the Reverend in Fuego.
Hi.
And my fellow bandmate in Stone Temple Pilots, Glenn Cannon.
What's happening on?
I don't know, man. We had a good run being members of STP.
I know.
It's over. They kicked us out.
Actually, you know, they didn't. They invited us to join them the next night.
Yeah, right?
Like, that was great. Let's do it again. You guys want to come down to where were they headed?
Well, they go, that was great. We'll have to do this again. I'm like, well, how about tomorrow? And Dean DeLeo
looked at us
and goes, you wanna? And I'm like, it's Sunday.
I guess something to do. No. Just kidding.
I thought they were doing he said we're in Vancouver. I thought it was Vancouver, Canada, but I think it might have been Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, yeah. Staying in the States.
Had I known it was Vancouver, Washington, I would have been like, bro, let's just road trip it and go.
I would have road tripped it down there with you.
We should have. That would have been a funny story.
Honestly,
all of a
he would have been like, dude, what? Yeah. Well, what am I kidding? Like, yeah, it went about as well as I think something like that could ever go.
Yeah.
Especially given that, it's not like they're inviting James Hetfield to join them.
No.
Two guys they've never really met that, they're not sure.
Can play.
Yeah. I would think that their manager, you said you sent him that clip of us doing sex type on Live Day.
Well, Ryan said that he did. I
would bet their manager was like, by the way, I saw this clip of those guys. They can play. This is going
to
be really cool.
I'd hope so. But
I would think so, because otherwise it would have been like, we need to maybe do a rehearsal, or why don't you guys just get up and say a few kind words? I just don't think they would roll the dice to that magnitude.
So like, let's go all the way back to October
back
of last year. October of about a year ago.
Sorry, Thrill.
We had Eric Kretz and Dean DeLeo on the show, and I grabbed an audio clip of that moment just so that we can kind of start there and then lead up to what turned out to be one of the greatest experience I've ever had, thanks to my job.
Yeah.
There's nothing even close. I mean, there's some really awesome moments I've had because of this job, but nothing will ever compare to being on stage with Stone Temple Pilots. So this was October. They were on. They didn't even have a new lead singer at this moment, or they didn't announce the lead singer. They were promoting the reissue of Core, the debut record, coming out like as a big reissue, remastered.
It was an anniversary thing as well,
25th
wasn't it?
Anniversary.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
So we potentially could be Hall of Famers, you and me, since we're members of Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, they're going to let you go on too as well. I mean,
they should.
Played on stage the entire song, and you killed it. So, I mean, the
funniest thing, too, is I've been battling scabies forever, and I rubbed up against every member of that band while I was playing.
Sure did.
So, man, it's just my sick Appalachian humor.
So here's Dean and Eric when we talked to them about the fact that we were big, big fans of their music, and they definitely had a huge influence on both Glenn and I when it came to writing songs. Glenn and I, we have a band together. We just started up together. And what geeks me out the most is there's moments where I'm like, man, this just feels like Core era Stone Temple Pilots. And that gets me.
All right. Are you guys guitar and drums?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys something, and you can take me up on this. And I'm going to come right out with this. When we come to town, you guys pick out a song, and you come up and play it.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Awesome.
That would be beyond an honor, man.
Dude,
you
have no idea. That would be the ultimate. That wouldn't even be on my bucket list because I didn't think something like that could ever happen. So, yes, 100%. If that could happen, that would be so insane.
When we get up there, man, please, you guys come by and we'll hang out and we'll just get wacky with guitars and you guys can play. You guys want to pick a song, rehearse it, and you guys can rock it.
Dude, how funny to hear him that back. I hadn't listened to that. That he was as honest and like as he came through with everything. He hung out with us. We talked geeky guitar stuff. He did everything he said he was going to do. Dean DeLeo is a man of his word.
Wow.
That is pretty freaking cool to hear that back.
That is crazy.
And it's funny because Glenn, while we were talking to him backstage, so, long story short, we interviewed them again when they announced they had a new lead singer. They were going to do Pain in the Grass, and they brought it up and said, you guys are going to do this for sure. And still, I think up until Pain in the Grass, Glenn and I were like, I think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, but I'm not going to be heartbroken if it doesn't happen.
Even day of show, I'm like, we haven't heard anything.
No.
And it's my assumption that they'd want to be out in front of this. So it's probably not going to happen, but that's cool. And Steve was like, I think it is going to happen. And I'm like, we'll see, bro.
And then 30 minutes after we had that conversation, we hear from their crew saying, hey, who's the guitarist? Make sure he keeps his amp on the side of the stage when they play. I'm like, oh, it's happening. Like, they're not going to tell Glenn.
Oh, it's real. Oh, God, it's real.
Right. It's damn real.
Yeah. And I think I was like, well, cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right.
All
then.
Right.
And then the manager guy says, hey, just be available around 4:30-ish. I'll find you guys. That's when Dean and Robert should be settled in at that point. And let's have you go into their dressing room, possibly run through the song, or at least talk it out, whatever it may be. So we wait. Mark, their manager, grabs us, brings us back to Dean and Robert. We immediately see Robert, who could not be a more... I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it's almost like it's not real. Like, he's a unicorn.
Genuinely. Well, they're both
you guys
really,
are
really... Well, no.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I'd always heard both of them. Brett had always told me how nice the DeLeo brothers were. I guess he's crossed paths with them many times. So I had that in my head from Brett, who's a long-time old friend who I trust, that these guys are really down-to-earth and really nice.
And boy.
So when we walked into Robert, and he was like, oh, hey, man, and he lit up. I was like, dude, what's up?
Hugged us.
Yeah, it was like running into a buddy that you'd played cards with in high school. Or like, it was just so vibeless. Like, just, dude, what's up? How you doing?
And then the funny part was, it's like, you guys good? You need to work with this, or can I go eat? And we're like, go eat. He's like, really? Like, he was so...
We got this.
I think we won him over even more because we let him go eat, like, which I thought was funny because I ran into him later on as he's eating. And he's like, Steve, you ready for this? I'm like, yeah. Don't want to bug you. You're eating. Even though he probably won't let me sit at his table.
And Dean, when we popped in there, Dean was kind of eating his dinner.
He was having some salmon and salad.
Yeah, So, I mean, we chatted briefly, but it was like, oh, dude, get back to your dinner. But we hung in there for... You know, we were in there for 5-10 minutes BS.
I'd say at least 10, We were just talking. He's eating. We're talking. He's like, you sure we don't have to go through this? But I thought one of the coolest parts was finally Glenn goes, hey, you know, we must have thanked them. I would say at least 100 times collectively. At some point, we said thank you to one of the members of the band.
Yeah.
And even before that, we interviewed Eric Kretz and Jeff Gut, and they couldn't be nicer. And Eric was really excited about all this. He's like, dude, we've been talking about this. Like this, and I kept thinking they're effing with us because they all kept saying, we've been talking about this for a while now.
Like, what are you planning
to
do?
Well, their manager had said the same thing. But he was like, you got to understand, first of all, the guys never do this.
No.
They have never done this. And they've been really talking about this for a while. They're really excited. And it's kind of like, really?
Right.
Like, why?
I kept waiting for them to go, psych.
I'm thinking of it on one end, because if you're the band members, you've been doing this for so long. I mean, you talked about how the reissue was, what, 25 years ago?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's been a while. So you don't do this normally, and then you go forward, and you're like, okay, these guys are either going to know what they're doing, and they sound like that. They sound like they've got the confidence to do this. So it's either going to be awesome, or it's going to be a complete and utter S show, and... That's going to be hilarious in
either
its
way,
own right. It's going to be fun for them to watch and just do it. And I mean, seeing you guys out there, you guys were having fun.
Oh my gosh.
Like, just the big S eating grin the entire time.
I don't think they expected us to actually get up there and just throw the F down.
Right. It's funny because even beforehand, you said something to Dean that I thought was very interesting. And hearing this clip back, now I understand what he's coming from. You're like, you have a lot of faith in us that we're going to be able to do this song. And Dean's reaction was, I could tell by how you reacted when I offered it that you guys weren't going to screw this up.
Yeah.
You guys were down right away.
Right. He's like, I could tell like there was like that moment of pause that was funny, but your response when I offered it wasn't, I don't know.
It was all right.
Yes. Really? Yes. And dude, it was, for me, I can't wait to hear your perspective of what was going on in your head while all this was happening. So we're waiting on the side stage and my nerves are starting to go. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be crazy.
Then
Dean's wife comes over. And again, I keep thinking, is the whole family and crew just effing with us? Because she's like, you're the guys? And we're like, yeah, my husband's been talking about this for a month now.
I forget her name, but she was so nice.
So nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean's wife could not be nicer. Like she actually made me feel even more at ease moments before. Because we're talking like they're finishing the song Roll Me Under. And she's telling us how excited her husband is to jam with us. I'm like, what? So then we go up there and we're playing, and for me, and there's a picture of it, I think it's my header on my at I'm Steve Miggs Facebook page. You can just go and you see on the cover photo. There's a picture of me playing and Jeff singing, and then there's Robert DeLeo looking at me. And at that moment, so I'm playing, I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to look at me and say, you're going too fast, you're going too slow, stop effing it up. You know, I'm being super insecure because I'm playing with Stone Temple Pilots. Like, I think we're doing okay. My heart was a little bit set at ease. My nerves were when Jeff goes, don't F it up, because that made me laugh.
That sets the tone.
And I'm like, all right, this is going to be fun. Let's have fun. Stop overthinking this. But I'm playing, and I'm like, I think I got this right. It feels right. And then Robert, within about 30 seconds, not even 20 seconds, looks over at me and I'm like, oh boy, here comes that moment. Am I going to get the death glare, which I've received in my life being in a band? I think we all have, you know? Or am I going to get the smile and nod glare? No, I got the, he looks at me, and I kid you not, Rev, he just goes, he's looking and he smiles and goes, F yeah.
Like, dude, that is so amazing.
And I'm like, oh, we're good now. Now it's time to have fun. Now I'm going to be Steve and I'm putting my hands in the air. And then Dean comes over and he's like, yeah, man. And then Jeff even looks at me and he's like, all right. And I'm just like, okay, this is going well. But the part that made me start smiling from ear to ear, besides Robert going, F yeah, I look then over, if he says F yeah, I look to my left, and there's Glenn leaning on Dean DeLeo.
Yeah, getting his rub on right there.
Dean's leaning on him, and they're rocking the F out. And I don't know, man, because I know that this band means just as much to Glenn as it does to me.
Huge fan.
And I'm seeing you have this rock star moment with one of your guitar idols.
Yeah, totally. Dude,
honestly, that put me in such a euphoric state that my homie is on stage with me. And every once in a while, you popped over and looked at me, and yeah, I'm like, I ran dude, back is this to the, really yeah, happening?
I had to come back to the drum riser and rock out with you.
And then we see, like, Dean, then Robert comes over to you, and you're having a moment. Then Jeff, after he has a moment, like, that's the part, like, they were awesome guys behind the scenes. If anyone's listening to this, if you just ever wonder, don't meet your idols, no. Sometimes meeting your idols is pretty freaking amazing.
Really nice people.
Yeah, just by the excitement in your guys' voice right here.
They were legit great from the beginning.
Such nice people. Oh, my God.
And the fact that they all made it a point at some moment to have a moment with each of us really, I thought, spoke volumes of how cool that was for them as well. Like, they made it a point. I don't think they talked about it, but I bet in their head they're like, I should probably go over there and rock out with Glenn, or I should go rock out with Steve.
I think everyone was just having a goddamn ball.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just, you know, you never know what you're going to get. I could have just stood terrified in one spot and stared at my hands.
Shoegazed.
There's a lot of famous guitar players that shoegaze, right?
Dude, you were on fire. The video, I love watching the video. Because you're just like, moving like a freaking god out there. Like,
it's one of those things like, you know, obviously, I can't pay my rent doing it, but, you know, I was covering Plush before Goot was born. You know, man? Like, I was playing that song in clubs before he had pubes. So, you know, it's one of those things like, and those guys probably obviously don't know that I've spent my entire life performing. So, when I got up there, you know, Eric just briefly shook hands with him because I hadn't really gotten to meet him. Hugged Dean.
Yep.
And then I walked up to Robert, and Robert went, hey, man, don't be nervous. I went, oh, dude, I'm not. And he was like, oh, all right, really? Oh, yeah, if you watch the video, you can see him walk up to me.
Don't stress it, bro.
And he was like, hey, man, don't be nervous. I said, oh, dude, I'm not. And he was like, all right. You know, like, he lit up, like, okay. No, because it was kind of like, bro, I know you don't know me from Adam, but this is actually what I do.
I live for this.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
So then I got into a bit of I toggled my guitar on. I talked with our tech, which is rad. Their tech set my whole rig up for me and everything. So I didn't have to do any of the
Isn't
stuff I
don't
like
to do.
Oh, it was like, that's how the other half lives.
Even like the drum tech guy, he was sitting behind, like he was over there, and he made it a point, like, gave me a big handshake. He said, have fun with this. I'm like,
oh, man.
You better
Well, I got handed my guitar. It was in tune. You know, like, wow. I'm not
so
used to that,
man. This is how
this works. Normally I'm trying to find someplace quiet, and someone's asking me a stupid question, and I'm trying to, you know.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Oh, yeah, right? That's it. A guitar tech. So, but yeah, so that happened with, you know, with Robert.
Yep.
And then I kind of toggled my guitar on and got into a bit of an E, just volume swell feedbacky thing. I was just kind of doing like,
okay.
Yeah. And I was trying to get that going on. And I think Jeff walked over and was like, we're going to click it in. And I nodded like, kind of like, yep, I got you. But of course, I'm thinking, I know.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's one of those, you don't know me. This is what I do. I'm setting this up, bro.
Which would have been funny, though, if like all of a sudden you just started playing and like, where are the drums?
No, and I'm sure he was like, why is there sound?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just going, the feedback. And he looked at me like, we're going to click it in. And I looked at him like, yep.
And it's funny, I thought that was Dean that did that. So then that I all me. Of a sudden said, I'm going to start rolling on the cymbal for a second before I click it in. So I got going, that's awesome. You and I just took control of the Stone Temple Pilots. Hey, man.
Right? So
awesome. I love this.
And then as soon as you cut loose.
We haven't had a chance to talk about any of this.
I can tell. This is so awesome.
Yeah.
So it's just totally nerding out, and it's fantastic.
As soon as you cut loose, all right, man, this is what I've cut the F loose, just doing my thing. And then pretty quickly, I think it was during that first verse that I got up into Dean's wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I started shoving on him and throwing my guitar up in the air. And he looked at me like, oh, well, S.
Yeah.
You know, he started doing all this stuff and I'm shoving on him and he's shoving on me. And it's kind of this... Well, goddamn.
Which must be fun for him.
Okay.
Because Stone Temple Pilots, there's not a backup guitarist. There's not a rhythm guitarist. There's not...
Oh, he played his ass off all over the song. I'm sure you noticed. He cut like three different solos.
He was having a
time. It was basically one of those, like, dude, I've got you.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, dude.
This is fun.
Okay. And so he started doing all kinds of cool stuff. So I spent a lot of time there rocking with Dean. It was funny. I circled out around for my rig. Dean was a lot louder than me, which of course, right? Mm-hmm. I got out around for my rig.
If you go to KSW.com, if you haven't seen the video.
You can watch this whole thing. Yeah, watch it.
The video is, and I grabbed, I had Vicky, Danny, and Chris record it with their cell phones and then airdrop it to me so I could put it together as like a multi-camera thing. Because I'm and apparently they do have a pro shot cameras that they're going to put together something. But I was like, I need to know for sure.
I need this right now.
Multiple angles.
It looks killer.
Yeah. And it's like, I just want this for my own personal collection.
So if
you haven't seen it, it's at KSW.com. I put it also on my Steve Miggs Facebook page as well, too.
Yeah. It's killer. It's killer.
So there you are.
So I had circled out in front of I'd broken away from Dean at that point. I think I was just rocking out.
I think you came over to my riser.
That's when I came to you and looked at you like, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
You know, and Robert runs up and now he's worried. We kind of looked at each other and it was one of those, oh, well, S.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
This is really what I do.
Yeah.
I'm up here to have fun, mother effer, and it's on.
I'm just watching the video on mute right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like Steve's S eating grin.
Oh, I'm having the time of my life, man.
Glenn, you're just like, you're making love to your guitar.
I was mopping it up, man.
Yeah,
I was up there to throw down, man. I wasn't scared.
I love the strut that you were having. Every once in a while, you're doing this strut and your hair is blowing. And it was cool, man. It looked cool. There was a moment even like when the part in the song where it goes, it's like kind of after the chords of I come. When I first did that first time on the drums, Robert looked at me and gave me that other like, all right.
You got it.
In his head, he's like, oh, please don't screw this part up. Because it's a major dynamic moment of the song. And I'm like just right there locked in with him. And it was cool having those moments to lock in with Robert.
If you listen, it was when I had circled out in front of you. If you listen, so I kind of hipped you to everything that had gone on right up to this moment. Chorus one hit, and I was way out away from my rig, so I couldn't hear myself at all.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm used to that, too. I went for the first chord of chorus one, and my instinct told me my hand was in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
But I had no way to know.
Uh-huh.
I looked down. I'm like, that ain't right. And it's B, A, and then D with an A root, if that for all your guitar players out there, right? And I looked
down.
It's
the same with the drums.
I had already caught the A and then the D with the A root. And then I had to cycle back to that first chord. And now unfortunately, as soon as you start thinking, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, S. Because Dean was doing, because I had him, I had his back at this point. That was established. He was doing something completely unique.
Yeah, he's doing some kind of like a weird lead thing over the chorus.
Yeah. It's that octave chord thing that comes in on chorus two and three. I love it when I was breaking down that when we were in the dressing room. I'm like, so dude, the octave chord thing that comes in over chorus two and chorus three, do you want to pick that up? Do you want me to? And he just lit up like,
yeah,
dude, you know every layer of this song. And I'm like, yeah, man, which one do you want me to play?
And that was cool.
When it was established, he was like, well, you hold down the root, and I'll do that bit. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Well, at first he goes, just go effing wild with me. Do solos with me. And I was like, Dean is all about having fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. But if you watch the video, you'll see me with my face towards the crowd, circle back towards my rig, and what I'm trying to do is get into a place where I can hear myself.
Okay, yes.
And all of this takes place over the course of 1/1000, 2/1000. Yep. This is over. But I realized Dean's not playing the chord in unison, so I have no frame of reference from Dean. I looked at my hand. I don't trust my hands in the right place. I need to get back by my rig. And, of course, the whole time, this 1/1000, 2/1000, my inner dialogue's going, way to go, dude. You forgot the chords to sex type thing. And if you watch the video, you'll see me circle back by my rig. Yep. By then, I've found it.
Oh, yeah, it was quick.
Boom, I lock back in, and I'm right back out rocking the rig. That's one of those moments like that hung with me. Even that night, I was like, I can't believe I did that.
That was the only thing I could. I was like, dude, isn't that awesome? He goes, it's like, yeah, except the first chorus. I'm like, dude, I didn't even notice, man.
And I told Dean, too. I'm like, dude, I missed chord one of chorus one. He was like, did you? I'm like, oh, God, I fixed it fast. And he smiled. I was like, I fixed it fast, brother. You know, because, yeah, as soon as I got my bearings, and then it was like, okay, now I'm back. The train's back on the track. Yep. Then I was right back to just running around, throwing. I sang a bit. Jeff and I sang like two words to each other.
Yep, I saw that. That
Robert
awesome.
And I got way down low. Robert's a big cool. Tall guy.
Yeah.
Robert's rocking out with me. Circle back over to Dean. But from my point of view, the whole thing was just every time I got in proximity to one of those guys, it was like a, really? And I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
This is what I do, homie.
Well, the crazy part for me, too, was every once in a while, they'd come over and be like, yeah. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, yeah. But from my perspective, not only am I seeing them go, yeah, I'm seeing 15,000 people also going, yeah, people are moshing and people are crowd surfing. And I'm watching people losing their minds while they're playing this song, which means so much to me.
Oh, we killed it.
And and that was my biggest fear. I talked about it on the air. I was like, besides not screwing it up, I wanted to make sure that we performed so that nobody felt that they were gypped out of sex type thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I totally get that.
So like
sure.
It was like that's why I was like super cognizant of making sure the tempo was right and this. Like I was really like working that out in my head, like making sure I got all the even though Eric plays the song way different now. Like he doesn't even do the ba da ba like accents.
Yeah, you figure 25 years of messing around.
Right, he's having fun with it. He rolls right into it, which is fine. But I'm like, I'm going to do it like the album. I'm going to, even like when we met before we went up on stage, we were talking with Dean. I'm like, hey man, I noticed during the live performances at the end of your song, you kind of do this like crazy speed up War Pigs ending, like, and it kind of just kind of goes crazy. And I'm like, do you want us to do that? He goes, do whatever you want. You want to do the album ending? Do the album ending. I'm like, well, what do you want? He goes, whatever you want to do.
It was like that, literally. He was like, oh, dude, do what you want.
And then
they were stoked that you had been studying their current version.
Yeah,
he's like, man, the guy really is on point.
Like I care.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
And then he even goes, how about don't tell me what you're going to do and just do it on stage?
Surprise me.
That's fun for us. I'm like, okay.
All right.
And honestly, in my head, while it was going on, I'm like, I think I'm going to do the speed up thing. And then when we got to it, I was just like, man, I want to end it like the album. I want to get that big pop from the fans. Because if we speed up, the crowd goes, this is how narcissistic I am at that moment. I watch the videos and they go nuts as it's ending and it just keeps going. But you get that big ending on the cold stop, mm-hmm. Then you get the big roar.
Yeah.
And I really wanted the big roar.
The roar was cool, man.
Yeah.
It was great.
So I have a little bit of the audio of the beginning of it, just in case anyone doesn't have time to watch the video. But this, just to give you an idea of just how much fun this was for us.
Hey, we got something a little special for y'all. You guys know Migs? BJ Glenn.
That was the funny part.
BJ.
So beforehand, the manager goes, how do you want Jeff to introduce you guys? You want it to be Migs and Glenn, Steve Migs and Glenn Cannon, BJ and Migs, KSW. I'm like, how about just say Steve and Glenn or Migs and Glenn and from KSW? That's all you need to do. Well, I think somehow they got lost in translation and all of a sudden BJ was coming up on stage two, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said.
I couldn't make it out because of the echo.
I think he said Migs, BJ, and Glenn. Migs,
this is Glenn. That's what I thought he said.
I thought that was hilarious.
My name's BJ Glenn.
BJ Glenn over here. So
I fight crime now.
So and here's a little bit more from that, and here's Jeff. And also, what I thought was cool, I got a message from Craig Gass, because he saw the video, and he's like, holy ass, whatever. And then he goes, man, I got to be honest, my favorite part was just the crowd reaction when they said your name. And I was like, bro, I felt that at that moment. I had goosebumps. Like, that was, I know I'm at a KSW show, and I assume that people are going to be down with this.
Yeah.
But man, that was, thank you for all the Rockaholics that showed us as much love as you did. It definitely helped calm my nerves and made the event in the moment even more special. I wasn't lying when I said at the end with the stage announcement when we brought up Alice in Chains, I said, this was hands down one of the greatest days of my life, and I'm glad I got to spend it with all of you. And I truly meant that. It was a magical day. So here's more from Jim. Jeff.
Play a song with us. We've been talking about doing this for a long time.
How cool is that?
Don't f*** it up, all right?
That's you.
That's me.
That's me. Take it over.
Yeah, Jeff, because you're going to put it in. Yeah, by now, I was already getting the OS. Okay. Yeah. This guy's all over it.
It was right here. When I nailed that accent, I think that's when Robert looked at me and goes, F yeah.
That was another thing too. Those little, especially in, it was the ones in chorus two. Those one up and one down. That doo 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 thing. Yeah. I was standing right by Dean, and we hit him in unison, and he literally went, "Dude!" His head was a foot from mine, and we nailed them together in perfect unison. And he just looked at me like that did not just happen.
That is so awesome, dude.
Well, that was me.
Here comes the solo. That was cool.
Should be these ones.
Honestly, this whole time right now, I'm like, I'm locked in with Robert DeLeo, one of my favorite bassists. This is insane.
Yeah.
It was cool being able to watch the video back because then you could see all the crazy lights. I couldn't tell what was going on with the lights while we were playing.
Oh, it was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like watching it from the lawn, it was badass.
Oh, I bet. As the ending was happening, Jeff comes over to me. It's funny how he told you, hey, we're going to count it in. Right at the very last, here I come, he gives me the one left. And I'm looking at him like, I know. Don't worry. But I thought that was cool that he was like looking out for my best interest.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Because it looked like probably for the fans, like he was just rocking with me. But he's like, one left.
Okay, cool.
Here we go.
Jeez, big so good. Okay, it started.
I did, actually.
Don't F it up. Oh, hey, they didn't F it up.
It makes you fun, everybody.
Well, it's funny, then, after that, then we're hugging. So the first person I see, obviously, when I get the drum riser, was Eric. He's like, get the F off of my drum throne. It's time for the professional to check out. No. He gives me a big hug, and then he's like, okay, you know, work your way out. And yeah. I work my way out, see Dean, and then I was just like, gave him a big hug. I'm like, dude, seriously, thank you for that. And he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he just looks at me and just goes, you crushed the S out of those drums, like with a big smile on his face. Like he was like legit stoked. Then I see Jeff, high five or whatever. And then Robert grabs me, puts his arm around me, and we're standing in the front, like just like kind of looking at the crowd. he was looking for you, but you already walked off. Yep. So we're like, oh, I'm like trying to call you over. I'm like, that's not going to happen. And then I think, Glenn's not going to hear me. People are going nuts. And then I think he was saying, go speak in front of the microphone. But I didn't hear him well. So I'm just like awkwardly for like maybe 10, not even, maybe 2 seconds, just staring at the microphone like, should I say something? I'm like, I don't want to say anything. I just want to just look at everybody. Like, and so I just awkwardly held him for another second or two. High five. Gave him a handshake. Grabbed Dean one more time. Gave him a hug. And as I'm walking off, there's a guy right in the front. And he's like, great job. And high fives me. I'm like, yeah, man. Awesome. Keep walking. Oh, crap. That was Gavin Rosdale from Bush.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Oh, man.
No, that was when we got done. If you watch, I bear hugged the shit out. Oh, I said the S-word.
Yeah, look at that. Someone's excited.
Bear hug Dean. Yeah. Big bear hug. And then I wave to the crowd. And my brain is like, okay, they've got two more songs. This is all on a stopwatch. They only have X amount of time. Right. There's another band after them.
Gotta go.
So I hug Dean, wave to the crowd, got off their damn stage.
Yep.
That's literally what I was thinking was hug Dean, get off stage. I waved to the other guys. But coming off stage, I walked right into Gavin Rosdale.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, that was awesome. I'm like, man, thanks, brother. Shook his hand. I'm like, I'm Glenn. He's like, dude, I'm Gavin. I'm like, this is my wife, Tawny. Tawny's like, hi. I'm like, man, great to meet you. He's like, you too. That was rad. I'm like, thanks, bro.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Gavin. You know.
I just love that he was standing side stage just watching Stone Temple Pilots.
He was up there with Dean's wife watching their entire set, actually. Yeah. He was like boogieing down while they played.
It was cool even seeing like Ian Astbury from The Cult popped in first. It took me a second. I didn't realize how short he was.
Oh, really?
Not that he's super short, but
Billy Duffy was milling around back there, too.
Yep, and then a couple of the ladies from the band Bones also were hanging out. At first, I was like, I didn't understand what was going on. I'm like, why are they wearing these strange outfits? And I was like, oh, yes, that was
they're
Bones.
A band.
They're a band.
Yeah, that was like their outfits for when they perform. It's like this kind of crazy jumpsuit, almost like they're little astronauts or something.
Yeah. You
know? But yeah, dude, that was nuts. And then just after that, obviously just the cavalcade of coworkers losing their minds. When your big boss who's there comes running over to you like fanboying at you with his cell phone out going, I got video of you doing this. Brought such like warmed my soul.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of cool. And just seeing everybody and just the amount of love all the listeners gave, it was awesome, dude. It was freaking amazing. And like you said, I mean, I wish we could have done that again and again.
I would have gotten it right the second night. Actually, I nailed it.
You
other
did
than,
great.
Oh, no, no,
jeez,
no, no. I nailed it, but it's funny. Like, every time I hear it, I can hear that first chord of chorus one.
Yeah.
It's like, and then, honestly, I think the front of house guy went, oh, and dumped my guitar down low.
Yeah.
And you just hear Dean doing the thing. And then if you notice, the rest of the song, Dean just plays the chorus chords with me.
Yeah.
I think that was a parachute move.
You know?
Okay. You know, I might have to cover this, but yeah, it was a one chord, and as soon as I could hear myself again, I'm like, you go.
That's funny.
Yeah, but yeah, even listening to it, I'm like, oh, there it was.
Oh, there it went.
But other than that, that was a total riot. Yeah. And honestly, it's not like I'm down on myself about it.
No, you should not, right?
But I remember that moment, and literally, we're talking 1,000, 2,000, it was past.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, I was like, oh, crap. You just missed the first quarter, chorus one, buddy. And because you can't hear your guitar, you don't really know what's going on now.
You'll love this then. So we talk about this on Monday morning, and I talked about how like it was very important to me to make sure I delivered the song drum-wise well enough for the fans, because I'm a fan as well. And the last thing I would want, if I'm a fan, have these two random guys show up and take away from my favorite Stone Temple Pilots song. Like, I wanted to make sure I delivered on my end of the bargain. And so I was very cognizant about the tempo. And so I'm talking about that. I was like, I didn't want to really speed up. Someone texts into the show, and of course, Steve, yes, you were speeding. And I was like,
oh, for God's sake.
So here's,
I'm sorry about your jealousy, pal.
I almost wrote back. I'm like, well, tell me how you did when you performed with Stone Temple Pilots.
You should have.
I was like, you know what?
No sass.
There's always one.
But the funny part was, I was like, no, I know I did it right. I listened to it,
speeding.
And it was fine.
You weren't speeding
at
all.
But here's the funny part. I went back, of course, because I'm just an insecure idiot like this when it comes to drumming.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's the one thing as a drummer, you don't want to be the guy that's a mess on the tempos. So I pull out my metronome and watch the video, and I'm doing it, and it, like, almost 100% locked in for the entire song at 137 beats per minute.
Jeez.
I know this is nerdy.
I'm following you.
The album version was set at 134 beats per minute.
Dude.
I intentionally wanted to go about 135, 136.
So it wouldn't drag.
Right.
Absolutely.
Whenever you do it live, you should go a little bit faster than the recording, in my opinion, because it's energy.
Couldn't agree more.
Speeding.
Couldn't agree more.
But that's like barely noticeable. I'm talking about like maybe a half.
Two BPM per minute is nothing. That's
right.
Nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I go, I'm like, out of curiosity, let me pull up Stone Temple Pilots doing this song.
Where does Eric play it?
145.
Oh, geez.
Which is.
Cranks through it.
11 beats per minute faster than the recording. So I was like, hey, dumbass. I wanted to say, but I was like, I'm not going to argue with someone.
Actually, I played it slower than Eric.
I played it slower than Eric, faster than the recording, but slower than they usually how they do it live. So I feel like I found the perfect happy medium for where it should be.
Boom.
Suck it. Suck it.
I wondered.
I was super proud when I went back and watched, because I set the beat, like the tempo, and then hit start and just watched it. And there was only a couple moments where it wavered, like during the ba-da-da-da-da, which is about to happen.
I felt steady as a rock.
But man, like, honestly, like, I mean, it was like, my gosh, I felt like a metronome.
You crushed it. You were great, Steve.
I felt great about it. That guy's text didn't get me. It actually made me laugh. Well, but it made me want to find out if he was right, and he was wrong, bitch.
So there it is, yeah. Well, and man, you posted about it. I posted about it. Last time I looked at the one video, was it like 4,000? I know I had one shank. I own it. I had a shank.
Who cares?
I was waiting because, there was this post, that post, this post, that post. And I'm like, man, there's going to be a sniper, especially with the shares. Because the shares aren't people that are necessarily your friends that are seeing it now.
And now angry,
and
jealous people.
There was going to be one sniper.
Like that one drummer that hates Bruiser Brody because we get a free publicity stunt. Right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I was very pleased to find, and of course I'm jinxing myself now, but not a single... dude, what happened to course one? Not a single, you couldn't hear your guitar anyway. Not a single sniper.
Dude, if it happens.
So far.
Blame it on Dean.
And it made it not.
Be like, dude, that was
that
Dean.
That was Dean.
Yeah.
No. Dean would be like, that was me. No, really. I fully expected someone to take a pot shot, and no one has, which has been really nice.
Same here on my end.
So you got that one guy, like, hey, Steve, you were speeding.
And oh, man, it just cracks me up.
Man,
it's like, no matter.
Why do you gotta be like that?
I don't get it.
You know, your wife said the same thing when I was railing her, bro.
Whoa!
Jeez, I was just going to go down to tell me about the time you played with Stone Temple Pilots, dick.
Yeah, your three-year-old kid is in the trunk of my car, but thanks for the comments, bro.
Dude, there was this guy on my Facebook. This morning I woke up and I deleted him from my Facebook. I unfriended him and I blocked him because I was like, So it's just like, I don't even know who this guy is. I think he's just mutual friends with all of us. Like at some point, because he's a musician from somewhere. I don't even remember his name, to be honest with you. But when I posted something about Alice in Chains, he made it a point to comment, oh, it's not really Alice in Chains without Lane.
Oh, for God's
sake. Oh, God, yeah.
I wrote it back. I'm like, hey, man, I completely disagree.
Hate that.
And I didn't argue.
That.
I was like, I'm not going to argue. I completely disagree, but I have a question for you. Do you feel that AC/DC is AC/DC with Brian Johnson? Or did they just stop being AC/DC when Bon Scott died?
Yeah.
And all he wrote back was, I know my opinion's not popular, but it's my opinion. And I'm like, answer my question, man. I just want to know how much of a hypocrite you are.
Did Van Halen stop being Van Halen when they got Sammy Hagar?
Right.
And had a string of singles?
Or did Metallica stop being Metallica when they got Jason Newsted? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't...
Or Kirk Hammett when they got rid of Dave Mustaine.
Right. Right. You know? So even if you want to even throw a Mike Starr as well, and you want to be like, well, Lane and Mike Starr, I'm like, is Metallica still Metallica? Because they are. Like, who are you to be that guy?
And there are these little sects of Alice fans out there like, well, it's not Alice without Lane. And I hate that.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Because I've met those guys. They're really nice people. They wanted to carry on. They were really concerned about Lane's memory and what they were doing.
They gave a great tribute to him and Mike during their set at Pain in the Grass.
The new albums are incredible. Willie's fantastic.
He's
the
so
band's
good.
Better than ever. What's the effing problem? I mean, look.
If you don't like it, stop buying it. Don't listen to the new stuff and just listen to their old stuff and be happy.
Honestly, you know what, man? All I listen to is the new stuff.
Because
I spent decades with the old stuff. It's not that the old stuff isn't killer.
Rainier Fog is a great record.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, I got a CD. I'll give you mine.
Oh, that'd be tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Castle gave me one and I listen to everything on streaming and I bought the vinyl. So I'll give you the CD.
Dude,
yeah,
thanks. Yeah, score. Yeah, I just got the new Alice record.
Yeah, it's so good.
I'm a huge fan.
I want to hear your opinion of Drone. I'm going to pull up
the
Drone.
New records are killer and they're what I listen to, man. I've been listening to Dirt for 20 years.
And just a quick aside.
I love the Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. I love, Black Fades into Blue. I love these records. They're killer.
I will put at the end of this podcast my full interview, unedited, with the guys in Alice in Chains that we did for the album release that I interviewed them for. And we even played a shortened version on on BJ and Migs, but at the end of this podcast, I'll throw the entire Alice in Chains interview up there so that people could enjoy it and check it out. But I want you to hear this one song. Just this one's called Drone, and this is my favorite off of the new record so far. It changes every day. And then I'll get back to why I... That wasn't why I unfriended him.
Oh!
That was just step one. I just want to get to the chorus.
Oh, wow.
Just wait till you hear the chorus, bro. Gosh, Sean Kinney, I hate you. You're so good.
I'm gonna love this. Yeah, right?
Goosebumps. Yeah. Yeah, dude, every song on the record is fantastic.
Sounds so great.
Stuff like that, just like that. Yeah, it's not Alice, not Lance.
That sounds like Alice in Chains to me.
Their friend and their singer died. They took a lot of time away. It wasn't like the next year they came out with a new singer.
Right. They didn't do a contest, like a reality show.
You know, their friend and their singer died. Jerry went and did a couple records that are great as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do what they do as a band together. Why are people so stupid that they would want to keep these people from doing what makes them happy?
And this also applies to the people that say,
if you're a fan of these guys,
not the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots. Same thing,
right?
If you're a fan of these guys, why don't you support them?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you support them, dude?
Be happy
you
that
know,
they're doing what they love to do.
It's bad enough that their first singer died. Now they're not allowed to do what they love to do, which, by the way, they're killer at.
And then, like,
I hate that. I hate to use the word hate, but I hate that attitude. Those people are retards, man.
And the Stone Temple Pilots one even makes me extra angry because they watched two of their lead singers die. Mm-hmm. Like, that's hard, man. And the fact that they still want to put their best foot forward and they got a great guy. And Jeff Coote could not be a nicer dude. And he kills it up on stage, in my opinion. He is fantastic as their front man. I know some people think it's eerie because he has the mannerisms of Scott.
He really does the Scott thing. But I have to wonder... if that's just him wanting to do the Scott thing.
Like, I think he's just influenced by Scott.
Move for move, mm-hmm. clothing, everything. He's doing the Scott thing. Or if perhaps it was one of those, this is what we want to do. But what is really important to me, because people have mentioned that to me, like, wow, it's almost eerie. It's a little creepy. It's a little this, a little that. I'm like, man, those guys are happy.
Yeah.
And they're really nice guys.
And
they're
good.
And they're happy. And the guy's good. And that's all that matters.
And the new record's great.
And the fans are loving it. And the band is great. And they're happy.
And you know
I think it's awesome.
What makes me think that it's not an intentional thing, and the only reason why I bring this up, because I think it's fascinating, as we know, Dead and Bloated, the iconic beginning of that song is Scott Weiland on the megaphone.
Right.
And Scott was kind of known for being a guy that would work, even on Sex Type Thing, if you see them do it live back in the day, he would do the here I come at the end
on
the megaphone.
Oh, I did a bunch of that in Velvet Revolver, too. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Scott Weiland was known for using a megaphone a lot in the music of Stone Temple Pilots, Velvet Revolver. Jeff Coote intentionally does not use the megaphone out of respect to Scott Weiland.
Oh, that's cool.
So when you see them do it live, I know some people, of course, damn if you do or you don't. I see people on YouTube.
You just said damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Right. They're like, why doesn't he use the megaphone for beginning of Dead and Bloated? It's not nearly as good. It's like, because he's trying to be honorable and respectful to Scott Weiland's legacy, and he can't get, nobody's happy with anything
anymore. There's nothing you can do. And that's why I'm seeing it, because I've had a couple people say, oh, what are your thoughts on? And I'm like, dude, the band's happy and they're killing it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a nice guy. They sound great. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
The fans are loving it. The band's loving it. I'm not sure I see a problem.
I know.
You know?
And so to go back to why I unfriended this guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even know who the F this guy is. Why are you spewing negativity on my Facebook page? Like, I don't even know you. By some weird thing, I made the mistake of accepting your friendship when you requested my friendship because you are mutual friends with a lot of people in the music community. Mm-hmm. So then I posted, I shared the Bruiser Brody, because we haven't even talked about Bruiser Brody yet, but I shared the Bruiser Brody performance of Everyone's Dead on my page, and a lot of great comments. One of my buddies, a lot of my buddies from college from direct message, dude, your band is amazing. One guy's like, it kind of gives off a Godsmack vibe, that song. I hope that's not insulting. They're one of my favorite bands, so I don't mean it as an insult. I'm like, no, comparing us to Godsmack is not a bad thing whatsoever. And yeah. I can understand how Everyone's Dead kind of has that tribal vibe that, mm-hmm. During the verses.
It's one of those things,
too, I've found over the years that, like, I've gotten this from, and it's always so random, but if you follow it with this question, it always makes sense. People be like, man, you guys really remind me of Queensryche. And I'll be like, really?
Yeah.
Huh. I've never heard that before. Who's your favorite band? Queensryche.
Okay.
And that's what it always is. When someone says, dude, you guys remind me of Godsmack.
It's because I like Godsmack.
And then he says, Godsmack's my favorite band.
Yep.
Dude, it might be a, man, you guys actually really remind me of Blind Melon. Really?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite band? Blind Melon.
I love that. Yeah, that happens. I love that B-girl.
Yeah. It happens all the time in that. People are just drawing an association to something else that they love.
We like to make comparisons.
So it's the ultimate compliment.
And I took it as that. So a lot of people write nice stuff, and then this one guy goes, I like everyone in the band, and I won't say who, because I'm not going to create drama, but I like, and it wasn't you or I. I like everyone in the band except for this one member of the band.
Immediately, I was like, oh, God.
No. And I was just like, and obviously at some point, something must have happened between him and a member of our band. Because it made no sense. And then people were like obviously going to the bat for that member of the band. And I'm just like, I don't need this crap on my page. I don't even know you. So now you're bringing your own personal drama into a fun video. And I'm at this point now where I'm like, you know what? From now on, if I don't like what you say on my page,
nuke them.
I'm deleting you.
That's
what I've been doing. And it's been like somebody tried to give me sass for having a campfire.
Uh-huh.
In my fire pit.
Oh, shut the F off.
And it was just, and it's like, you have, well, it was like in the X amount of years that I've been your friend on Facebook, you've never posted anything.
Right.
Until this little snark comment that got shot down immediately. It's like, you are nothing on my page.
Delete, block, unfollow. Yeah, right. Blam.
Yeah, I don't even want you to be able to find my page.
Yeah, just take them out, dude. But
bye.
I usually give it's a two-strike policy because I'm like, there's no inflection in text.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So if I read something and I'm like, was that snarky or not? But if there's a second one with doubt, and I might even be wrong twice, but if
Who
there's
cares?
A second one with doubt, let me help you by eliminating the source of the trouble, which is me. So I'm just going to fix it so you never see me again.
That's funny. Right? This guy, I didn't even know he existed until he popped on the first time, popped on the second time, two strikes. I'm not waiting for that third strike. I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm not letting that thread continue because everybody in my band is my brother. I will go to bat for everyone in my band.
Mm-hmm.
I love everybody in my band, and I'm not getting into an argument on Facebook with you about this because I don't know you. Nothing good's coming of it. You're just done to me. And my friend Carlina, she posted this on her Facebook, and I was like, man, today was the perfect day for me to read this. And it was just a meme of someone else, or a screenshot of someone else's tweet that she put on her Facebook page. It just says, people are allowed to delete you off of Facebook, delete your number, and just stop hanging with you. They don't owe you an explanation. If they don't like your energy anymore, you're toxic to them now, or you're affecting their mental health, they're allowed to cut you off, period. And I was like, I can't say that better than that.
I had to do that with a guy who I've known for, at this point, 12 years, and it was last year, and it was just, like, I tried to help him, and he was just constantly toxic, and everything was negative all the time.
Bye.
Yep. And I was just like, I tried, and I understand that you've got problems going on, and I get why, and I've tried to be there for you, but every time you just come back at me negatively, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
No, dude, I don't
need to deal with it.
Did a big purge. This would have been several months ago, and it was the same. This was an individual, actually, I've got probably a two-decade-long history with. Honestly, always in one way or another, ended up backstabbing me or talking smack on me, and it would always get back to me, and I'd always take the high road and just say, that person's very insecure and a little messed up, and I let it roll off my back. It's my choice to be this individual's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, this person really attacked the hell out of me on Messenger, and I'm trying to be so sweet and loving and understanding, and they just went berserk, and I'm like,
same thing with me. Yeah, exactly.
Two decades in.
Done.
I'm cool.
Done. Delete, unfriend, follow, just wham.
It's two decades too long.
Yeah. It is. It was 19 years too much, man. But it's the same thing. Just, and you know what? Life's been better.
Right. I shouldn't have to, like, I even started, like, do I need to like worry about putting a fun post on my page because this idiot is going to say something negative? No.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you know
help
this person.
Them. Help
that,
them out.
Do you know that person?
No, I don't.
Okay. I didn't know if he was like part of your circle as well, but no. Maybe, do you know that person? That's the person
oh,
who
no.
I
no, no. Yeah, is that even know. His real name?
I don't know, but yeah, ask. F, I think that's his name.
That's
his
last
name. Yeah. Let's ask our listeners if that's his real name.
Look him up on Facebook. His name is Ass F. Bruiser Brody was a blast.
Bruiser Brody was killer.
Yeah. Opened it up and was the sounding call to get everyone in, get their asses down to the stage.
We knew that we were playing two steps backwards because of the gate time being 1 o'clock, us going on stage at 1:30. It's impossible to get everybody that's waiting in line.
That's the way it always, man. Yeah. Always. Same with when Window Pane did it. It's just one of those things where, I mean, we're lucky to be getting added to the front of such a big show.
Of course.
But, you know, you always get the dude, I can hear you from line, I just couldn't get in. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, and literally it was a throw and go setup.
Mm-hmm.
Where we didn't even get much of a check, but
for a second I thought I was gonna have a drum riser. I even set up on a drum riser. I'm like, man, I'm at the adult
well, then
kids
then they
table.
Struck your
I'm at
riser.
Adult table, and then they finally come up and like, we're gonna have to take your drums off that riser. I'm like, why? Do you have to give it to another band? They're like, no, we didn't think about Alice in Chains' light setup. It's too. It takes up too much space, and the drum riser is too wide to get through.
Yeah, oh,
so wasn't it like they were trying to like they didn't try.
No,
to,
you couldn't have got them on stage,
right?
When I saw the corridors after the like, because it was like, yeah, we got to get the drums of the riser. I'm like, that figures.
Yeah,
and then I started trying to get my rig through, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They can't get him on. They would have to airlift him onto stage.
They would have to put they had to put it sideways to be able to get through. There was no chance of getting a drum riser through. And I was like, oh, well, no big deal. And actually, it wasn't, honestly, for me, because of my knee, I was worried about getting up and down off of that riser. And I even practiced once, and I was like, ugh, that didn't feel good because it's a big, it's like, you know.
Oh, man. Just
probably
think,
3 feet up.
Yeah, it's about 3 feet up. So, like, you really have to kind of lean into it. And I didn't know which leg to lean onto because So I was like nervous about that. So honestly, it made my life a lot easier. I was like, maybe I'm gonna have to have Travis carry me up and off of that. And then with Stone Temple Pilots, when people were like, are you nervous? In my head, I was like, no, I'm just nervous about the drum riser because I'm gonna have to be quick.
Yeah.
Thank God they had a second riser. So they had one riser and then the drum riser.
Steps.
Because they had a spot for you to be a rock star and stand next to the drummer.
Yeah, right.
Right. That was awesome because then it was just like walking up steps. But the problem that happened that screwed up my knee right before I performed them is that Eric sits a lot lower than I sit on his drum throne, and I didn't think about that. So when I sat down, I kept going when I thought my, you know, like when you'd step.
You
know, boom, and it's like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, like my knee can't bend a certain far back. And all of a sudden, it's like, yee! And I'm like, oh boy. not enough to hurt it, but enough to be like, oh boy.
Yeah.
It got your attention.
Yeah. Surprise. But man, it was fun because as we started our set, you know, it was a smattering of people, but. All of a sudden, like halfway through our set, I was like, wow, this is way more respectable than I thought as far as
filling up.
People really went out of their
way. People were trying to get in there. It was great. I saw a lot of Brody t-shirts.
A ton of them.
It was obvious that there were people that tried to be first in line so they could get in there to catch our set.
I think
because as the amphitheater filled up, you saw more and more Bruiser Brody t-shirts in the crowd, and I was like, ah, man.
That was cool.
That's really cool.
And I think if I'm, I think his name's Adam, and I'm sorry if I screw it up, but he intentionally bought whatever, like the Lucky Eagle VIP thing so that he had early entrance. And he,
smart
I saw it on
man.
Facebook, and he's like, the reason why I did it was to make sure he could get in time to see us play, which was super, super flattering.
So cool.
Yeah,
yeah
dude. Like, a lot of people went and bought our shirts, too. I had a few people come up and like, I got your shirt. I got your shirt. I'm like, wow, awesome.
God bless Kathy Cooper for making that happen.
Yeah, she was a rock star, as always.
Yeah.
And it was just cool, man. At one point, I looked out into the crowd because you could make eye contact with almost everyone in the pit at one point.
Yeah.
And I saw everybody from our radio station standing out there. And that doesn't
that's
happen.
That's true, man.
Dude, there was no way we were going to miss that.
That never happens.
That's very true, actually.
Typically, people are backstage milling about, either just hanging out, drinking, or doing work stuff or preparing. Everybody from our morning show, I saw them. Seeing BJ rock out truly did bring so much joy to my heart. As much as I like to give BJ a hard time and vice versa, that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
I could see like he was singing along. Like that was cool. I'm like, damn. And like then seeing all the men's room guys and seeing Thrill just kind of rocking out and having his moment, seeing our bosses and Ryan Castle. And actually, at one point, then I looked out and just saw the, I don't know, just the true size of the amphitheater.
Yeah, the seats and the lawn are starting to get, you know, groups of people as well.
Yeah.
And you realize sort of where you are.
Like, I got a little teary-eyed, and I'm like, don't cry. Don't cry. You can't cry while you're rocking out.
There's no crying in rock and roll.
There is no crying in rock and roll unless you're in Panic at the Disco or something.
That's not rock.
Then I quickly got over that, and it was cool.
It was fun to see you guys. I mean, I've seen you a couple of times at different venues, like Jazz Bones, Louis G's, and, like, the local venues. But seeing on that big stage, it was so cool, and it sounded so good.
Oh, well, yeah. We lucked out.
Paul Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Hudson, man, from Gorilla Audio.
So Paul's the guy
Hippie was our monitor engineer. He's super talented. He was like Paul's second.
The whole White River crew that we dealt with, like, I was nervous that we were going to be treated like the little step, you know, like the little redheaded stepchild. Everybody treated us like we were just slightly below Stone Devil Pilots. You know what I mean? Like, like, they treated us like gold, man. It was really cool. But the best part was, Paul, we hire Paul to do sound for us at most Bruiser Brody shows because he's a rock star and he's incredible. He does window paint as well. And then we found out, you know, we couldn't bring anyone because we're the opening band.
Like,
you can't bring your lighting guy. You can't bring your sound guy. You get whatever
they give
you.
Window Pane brought Paul when we played.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we
you guys.
Did.
Well, we were told you get who you get.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, popping out of nowhere is Paul. And he's like, hey, guys, I'm doing sound for you. I'm like,
yay!
Wait,
had I not told you?
Maybe you did.
Because I found out like 4 or 5 days earlier, he was like, hey, man, sorry I couldn't make the Jazz Bones show. I'm like, oh, no worries, Paul. Totally not a problem. And he's like, yeah, as it turns out, I'm going to be mixing all the openers at White River, though, so I'll see you
Maybe
Saturday.
Maybe you did. I remember thinking.
And I was like, no. Immediately, I was like, oh, we're going to sound good.
You guys sounded so good.
Yeah.
Right, like, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better scenario.
No,
like, that's our sound guy. And just by chance, he's doing sound for us at Pain in the Grass. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
Everything about it was great. Everything that could go right went right. Oddly enough, it was like the reverse
perfect
law.
Day. Yeah, your perfect day.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was really cool, man.
Yeah, so thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
That was cool.
No doubt.
That was cool,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, everyone.
So why don't we do some voicemails and text messages?
Sure.
Yeah. We haven't done one of those in a while. We have a few that are probably like over a week old, so just like happens.
How many months old?
I don't know.
Hey guys, it's Justin Hannah. Say hi, Hannah.
She's so excited for me to share this story.
Where the passion was, you're like, hey.
I know, wait a second.
She now even, she won't even say hi.
Yeah.
Let her out of the basement. Come on, Justin.
Story. But it relates to Glenn.
Uh-oh.
I, too, once had torsion testicles.
Oh.
It was absolutely one of the worst days of my life.
Ooh, part of the neck club.
I won't get into details how it happened. Let's just say I woke up the next morning and was extremely uncomfortable. I wasn't unhappy. Oh! Sorry, Hannah just shot me with a Nerf gun in the penis.
Apparently they're having sex.
What is going on in their household?
She's nerfing his penis, dude.
But she's shooting his dong.
Yeah, well, who are we to question the fetishes of others?
Yeah, right?
Love and marriage go together like
nipple clamps in a battery.
Nerves in nuts.
Woke up the next morning from a night of fun with the lovely bride. Didn't say that. She's not going to listen to this anyway. But felt uncomfortable. Drove to work at 6 o'clock that morning. Got to work, felt even more uncomfortable. Worked for about an hour, and it got worse. And then I started puking, and it was terrible.
Oh.
And it was just like
when you vomit, it tugs on you.
Feeling around, nothing felt too out of normal. You know, I mean, I don't typically check them every day, all day long, but it was bad. And it got to the point where I was just like, oh, no, I need to figure out what's going on. Unfortunately for me, my mom worked at a urologist.
Oh, no.
For you guys that don't know, I call it doctor. Sorry if you got to edit that,
okay.
But my mom works at...
Yeah.
So I called my mom, told her what was going on.
His mom's a urologist?
She put me on the phone with a doctor or one of the doctors.
What's her number?
And I was
got this
brought
sore.
There.
I think it's infected.
It's 1-800-DONG-DOCTOR.
Urgency. So I immediately jumped in the Miata, drove there this years ago, first Miata. But and I'm sitting in the office, they check me in, they start looking around, and they tell me I have a torsion. Man. And basically it's just all the tubes and veins and everything
that's
is
right.
twisted.
Like when you wind up a swing. Yeah.
And they've got to untwist them.
That's right.
My mother is a receptionist at this office and wants to sit in on the procedure.
No! Nice.
How'd you hurt your balls, son?
Go yeah. away, Mom!
I'm not lying. My own mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man. It was
well. I mean, it's a little more medical than that, Justin.
I'm visibly aroused.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
Is there a YouPorn channel for that?
Probably. Send us the link. Fetish for everything, oh, guys.
Granted, he saved my nuts, and I'm really appreciative. But it was still the most awkward thing in the world, and I'm not gonna lie. I'd still call Mom.
Still call Mom?
Oh, he hit the 3-minute limit.
Oh,
I think on Google Voice after 3 minutes, they're just like, yeah, you're done.
Yeah. Just the, so nobody fills up their stuff with just nothing.
I'll keep it super short, but yeah, testicular torsion is all the tubes and the piping and stuff that go down and connect to your ball. What I learned is that they work like gears. They rotate 180 degrees either way, but no further, right? It's an audio show. So they work like two gears. One rotates right, one rotates left.
Okay.
And only so far. That's the way your balls work.
Tune in Tokyo.
Well,
learn something new.
Testicular torsion, like when I almost ripped mine off in the tube of the motorcycle, what it did was it stretched all those tubes and veins when it tried to pull my ball off.
Which is going to be the name of the Bruiser Brody record.
And now,
torsion.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-mm-mm. Now I've got what I call a rebellious ball. So I have a ball that'll just wind up too far, and what happens...
Rebellious.
It's a rebellious, yeah. When it winds up too far, it cuts off all the blood flow and all the stuff that's supposed to get to the ball.
Oh,
and it feels like someone's digging in there with a dull spoon.
What the?
Oh, that's what
I had had this my whole life. It would come and go. The day
C-O-M-E.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, sometimes if you do... If Jimmy cracks corn, it untorses. It untorses. So
I care.
I don't care.
There was a day that it was really, and I was used to it. It would come and go. I wonder where my ball aches. I didn't know. This is the day I learned what a suture was. I promise to keep it short.
Okay.
I had never heard the term suture before.
Uh-huh.
I knew what stitches were. I'm loaded with them. I'm nothing but scar tissue and sinew, right?
Yeah.
But one day I was at work, and man, my ball hurt. I mean, it hurt so bad, as Justin described. I thought I was going to get physically ill because it feels like someone's digging in there with a spoon. Like one of those weird, rumply-looking spoons from the first Matrix film. Like... A bad spoon, and they're digging in there. And I had a female boss. Her name was Jamie Henkensiefken.
Yeah,
Henkensiefken. Hell of a guitar player,
actually.
Let
me see your balls.
Yeah.
And it got so bad.
Time to look at the testicles.
I went in, and I was like, hey, Jamie, listen, I need to go to a doctor. And she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, well,
my nuts.
My left ball hurts. And before I could finish, she's like, just go.
Yeah, I don't need to think and see that.
Lots of pain, lots of discomfort. It's the worst it's ever been. I get in there, the doctor, and he's like, oh, you know, this is odd on a younger man, you know? And I'm like, what's odd? And he's like, well, you have testicular torsion. And he explained.
You have the balls of a 90-year-old man.
Gravity pulls on him. But what I did was a preemptive and inadvertent stretching of my left ball. And that's why I have a rebellious ball, because I tried to rip it off on the gas tank of a motorcycle. Dude. And he explained that it's getting wound up like you'd wind up a kid in a swing and then it spins to cut him loose.
Okay.
And none of the blood and stuff gets to the ball. And that's why it hurts like the Black Death. It's just terrible.
Yep.
And I said, okay, well, what do we do? And he said, well, we can do two things. What we can do is we can open up the scrotum and put in a suture. So he says we can open up the scrotum and put in a suture.
What?
And I sat there and did like the slow cartoon blink. And then I said,
hard pass.
What's a suture?
Oh, I would have been like, open up. No, I'm good.
I didn't know. Dude, what's a suture? You know, is that like a pterodactyl? What the hell is that? What are you going to put in my scrotum, man? And he said, it's like a stitch. And I said, okay, what's option two?
Yeah, what's anything else?
What about
else?
Crazy glue? Crazy glue sounds like a good idea.
I swear to God, I'm not making this up. I will never forget it. I went, all right, what's option two? He said, option two is if your testicle starts to hurt, get down there and twist it. Mm-hmm. If it hurts more, you're going the wrong way.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's what I've been doing ever since. Maybe once every 6 weeks.
Where was this? What stick was this doctor located in, sir?
Oh, dude, it was the walk-in clinic right off of California Avenue, probably a polyclinic right below the Safeway shopping plaza.
Okay. This was right in West Virginia? There,
California and Alaska.
Okay.
If you see Glenn adjusting himself on stage, that's because he's just unraveling his balls.
Yeah, I just got to untwist my ball before something bad happens. Jesus. You don't want that thing turning blue.
Man. Yeah, my mother that's what the doctor said. Watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
I think next Bruiser Brody show we should open with that. That'll play through the PA.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
We need a remix of just that part.
My mother
and then a drop of Paris Hilton going, that's hot.
That's hot. Yes.
That's so hot.
Wait, hold on a second. Here we go. Wait a second, let's just do this. Bring this back.
You made me snort.
You know, I had said there was another chapter. Oh wait.
Uh-oh. Is this gonna work?
Here we go. It's gonna be the remix.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
Oh my God. I've never.
That's
you know,
insane.
Knock on Formica or whatever this is right here. Knock on my nuts, but I've never had ball issues as such.
Careful with them. You know, in the movies when the girls are sucking on them and all kinds of crazy, just leave them be.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Just leave them be.
Let's
you don't
not
need
risk
to,
it.
Don't put ropes on them, clamps, toys. You don't need to do
Did
any
you
of that.
Put no, I'm not asking that question. I'm not. I don't want to know.
Too late.
I don't want to know the answer. I'm not even looking at you in the eyes.
My mother watching me get my nuts fondled by another man.
I don't even want to know any sort of tell
on
that.
There's all kinds of leather straps. There's all kinds of stuff you can do with them. My advice is this. Don't do anything with them.
Not.
And that goes for piercings, too. You don't need a pop rivet down there.
No.
Nobody needs a hoop.
Wear boxers.
Ladder.
Wear boxer briefs. Don't wear tidy whities.
I just want to say God did fine. You don't need to augment that thing. You don't need to pierce it. You don't need a tattoo. You don't need a pop rivet in it.
Man.
You don't want to put leather straps or clips or harnesses on that thing.
Woof.
Just leave them be. Leave them be.
Leave your bees,
and
my
girls,
mother.
You can just ignore them too, man. You don't got to suck on them. Or that's just in the movies. Just leave them be.
Yeah. No, honestly, it's never been a situation where I'm like, this would be better if you did that.
Right? Yeah. Just leave them be.
Yeah. I think it's probably right up there with like women's opinion of the booby sex.
Yeah,
like I don't understand. Like they always say, that I don't. It does nothing for us.
Well, no, I'm thinking about that Sly Stone thing. Where it was like, yeah, coddle the boys and all that. I guess some guys are into it. For me,
no.
Those things are so damn. Like my unit, you can hit it with a ball peen hammer. We're good to go.
Like I question your.
They
just,
are so delicate and so fragile. Just leave them be.
Well, and also just like they really accumulate most of like the stank.
And lint.
Yeah,
need to start a fire. I got you covered.
I question like your decision making processes as a lady if you go for that.
Dave, have you ever had a girl
hit him like a speed bag?
Have you ever had a girl tongue your?
Whoa!
No.
You know what? I'm bleeping that.
Are you bleeping that?
I'm bleeping that.
That was a lovely description.
Watch me get my nuts
rosebud.
By another
can
man.
I say rosebud?
You can just. You are weird now, man. You guys got
no,
all
it's
jazzed.
Nothing I'm
you
into.
Got all jazzed
We're rock
up because
stars.
Of
We're
the,
rock stars.
The Stone Temple Pilot stuff. You guys have just been going nuts about it for the last hour, and now you're just getting into weird sex things. I don't need that, Glenn.
I'm just, it's nothing I'm into. Don't make that assumption. I don't need a girl's tongue there.
Okay.
That said,
yeah.
I had it happen once, and,
what?
I was like, oh.
I'm not into that, but I was into that, is exactly what
I
you
didn't
just
say,
said.
I didn't say no. I was like,
see?
Huh.
Yeah, you're into that.
I wouldn't request it.
Rule 34.
You know?
We got a text message. 253-271-4787.
Here comes Steve with the cutaway.
Dude, Steve and Glenn, you two were awesome at STP. I wasn't there, but I saw it on the Twitter machine.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it was better in person, but nevertheless, pretty awesome to see. So happy for you two. Thank you very much. I like this text, though. I'm always amazed by Glenn's oratory abilities when it comes to telling stories.
He's got a great tongue.
After hearing Papa Raj, I can see he was raised around great storytellers. I really enjoyed his retelling of babysitting. Oh, this guy has a guess on who he thinks the football player was for your Uber story. He says, I enjoy his retelling of babysitting Philip Rivers at the strip club. I'm guessing it was Philip based on the clues you left. Now, for those that aren't football fans,
Philip Rivers.
It wasn't him. I agree with
Sorry.
That. He is the quarterback for the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Is he still?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Rev's like, they haven't thrown him out yet. Maybe he is the guy.
He's a big angry baby, man.
And here's his reasons why he thinks it was him.
I
do love
wait
this.
To hear this.
He says net worth under $50 million or greater than $50. He's married with kids. He has 8 kids.
Whoa!
Oh my. Stop breeding.
The Chargers played in town last weekend. Not as tall as the almighty Glenn. He must have been older because young players party together and this guy was alone and wanted to party with his Uber driver just to get away from his wife for a couple more hours. Did I guess right? Nope, you're not even
sorry,
close.
Sorry, brother. I'm
not
really sorry. I would love to tell you that you nailed it, but yeah. I'm sorry, brother. Yeah. I swear to you on my soul, not just protecting my, let's call him client, that's not who it was.
No, you're right.
And
it's
don't
not
try
him.
To,
I promise you.
And don't try to hit me up, Caesar, because I'm not going to give it away either.
Just whenever Caesar hits you up, just name a Denver Bronco.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did have a couple close friends who are fans of the show hit me up, and I told them who it was.
But it's your circle.
You know, like, hey, look. And all of them were cool. They're like, I swear to God, I'm not going to tell anyone. But my wife.
Yeah. It's like, not my story to tell. Yes. So hit up Glenn and he'll deem whether or not you're worthy.
We won't tell you if it was Russell Wilson or not. Oh, my bad. Just kidding. Not Russell Wilson.
I should bleep that.
I like this person. I know I'm not the
How
only.
How come he can say Russell Wilson and I can't say balloon knot?
Because you know why.
Because I wasn't talking about ladies tonguing my Russell Wilson.
That's got to get up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, my God. Oh, Migs is in a great mood. He got a little Russell Wilson this morning before his coffee. Oh, yeah.
My wife is naughty. She
my
went right for the Russell Wilson. She went knuckle deep on my Russell Wilson.
I got a Russell Wilson in front of my mom.
You know he's number 3 for a reason.
Oh dear.
Oh boy. All right. I like this one. This is based off of the Pearl Jam show. I know I'm not the only Migscast listener here at Pearl Jam and hearing Ziggy's lyrics, laughing my ass off. Great show.
Yeah.
Just plow me. Yeah, when Pearl Jam went into Daughter, I got a lot of tweets, text messages from people going, just plow me. I was like, yep, I know exactly what you're thinking, and I'm thinking it too. No different when they went into Sonic Reducer.
Beat Migs.
I'm hearing the Beat Migs theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They crushed Sonic Reducer. They had the guys from Mudhoney and Kim Thayil from Soundgarden up there
with
them.
That's so
nice.
Cool.
It was cool,
I hadn't even heard about that. I didn't even know that went down.
Oh, yeah. It was on, I think, night 2 when they did it, if I remember correctly. It's pretty awesome.
It's weird when you get those bands that have been around for so long that have that know everybody, and then suddenly someone will just pop up.
Yeah.
It's like a little treat.
I thought it was funny because night 1, the only surprise guest they had, it was still awesome, was Brandi Carlile, and they did a Brandi Carlile song, which I thought was pretty cool. But night 2, they busted out the Mudhoney guys and then Kim Thayil from Soundgarden.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a little pretty cool, man.
To play Beat Migs.
Beat Migs. Wouldn't that have been funny?
That would have been rad. Whoa!
Like, what?
You're a loser!
One of these days, if I ever have the balls, I'd love to play it for them. I just don't know how. I feel like Mike would get a chuckle out of it, and I think only Mike would get a chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
And it would be more of a polite chuckle.
Windowpane went back in and finished it up, actually. I was pretty proud of
it. You guys crushed it.
Our version of it was pretty rock. Well, we had the... We cut the song.
Might as well.
So I was like, dude, what if I just went back in and cut the vocals?
I remember telling him, like, dude, you'll be doing me as a Windowpane fan and a fan of Sonic Reducer a giant disservice to myself if you don't recut it with actual lyrics. And when you did it, I was like, oh, man, you guys gave it a great version and a great vocal take. It was awesome.
Yeah, we put that out there as like a free fan download. I don't even know how many people even got their hands on it.
I did.
You know, oh, cool. All right.
I thought it was dope.
I get it somewhere.
Yeah.
So I got one more voicemail before we roll on out of here. Because I got to get to the knee doctor at some point.
Is he going
to
give you a suture?
Yes, he is. He's going to twist my balls.
He's going to tell you to open anything up. You should probably just say no.
Oh, do you have a rebellious ball as well?
He's going to give me the Russell Wilson.
Yeah, stay away from the balloon nut, guys.
Here's another voicemail.
Give me a little of the old RW. You.
Oh, sorry. Damn delay on this phone.
Yeah, right?
Here we go.
I wanted to tell you about this friend of mine that she's an old friend, but every time she sees my boyfriend.
Glenn, how does she sound?
She sounds hot.
She kisses him, like, right on the lips. And I see her do this with other people. She's kind of like this hippie chick. But I still don't think she should be kissing my boyfriend on the lips.
No.
She kisses me on the lips, too. Yeah. Which maybe makes it better, but it's whole thing is kind of weird.
Yeah, like, the only person I want to kiss on the lips is my wife.
My wife and Lulu.
There are a few women.
I don't kiss the cat on the lips. I kiss the cats on the top of the head.
Ask. You should ask her boyfriend.
They lick their balls, man.
If he does the frozen Easter Island head thing. There are a few women in my life that insist on kissing me on the lips.
Yep.
And they normally grab you by your head. And when they do that, my entire body goes stiff. So
yeah.
My body language is screaming, let go of me.
Yeah.
And then they still pull you forward, even though your body is as stiff as a statue, which is body language for,
stop.
Please don't do what you're about to do.
Yep. I'm not a fan of it.
And then they kiss you on the lips anyway. There are two women in specific I can think of that kiss
is
me on the lips.
Is it like a European
every
thing
time
or something like that?
Neither of these girls are European.
But they have hairy armpits.
So yeah, she should ask her husband, like, if it's bothering her, it's like, honey, do you go like stiff as a corpse when she does that? And the husband's probably like, God, yeah, I wish she wouldn't do it.
I always twist my head. I try and time it because I have a couple of people in my life that I know.
Yeah, you can twist
I have one
your
family
head.
Member on my side, and there's a family member on my wife's side that also does it every time. And I have to time it and move my head just at the right time. If I move it too early, she follows my lip.
And
it's not like she's trying to be creepy or weird. It's just she's an older woman. It's probably just how she was brought up. And I know she kisses everyone on the lips in the family. I just don't like that. It's just weird to me. And I will never want to.
I don't
to.
Like it either.
I remember at one time I was at a – this is back when I was single. It was weird. I remember I was at East Lake Bar and Grill with a bunch of friends.
Oh,
it was like mutual friends of Thrill and his crew, and we were all together. And this one woman, she kept talking about, she's like, your lips are just so incredible. And I'm like, thanks. Like, everyone's drunk. Her boyfriend gets a round of drinks for everyone. She's like, I just got to kiss him.
Whoa.
And just comes over and kisses my lips. And I was like, what the hell just happened? Her boyfriend comes back. And she tells him, she's like, yeah, those lips are very, I just had to finally do it. And he laughs and thinks it's funny. And I'm like, I need.
Steve's super weirded out by this whole scenario.
I'm weirded
Dude,
out.
Dude, man, can I watch you effer?
Right?
Like, Mix is like,
right?
I'm going to go home now,
I
man.
Crushed that beer and left.
Yeah.
I did. I pounded that beer and said, I got to go. I got to go. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to be rude,
threshold
but I got to get up early tomorrow. And it was like a Saturday afternoon.
And it was like 6 o'clock.
I got to return the videotapes.
Bro, it was probably 4 in the afternoon. And I go, I got to get up early tomorrow. I'm out. I'm like, I can't do this. The drunker she gets, the more she's going to want to kiss me.
She's going to get handsy, and then you just don't know where you're going with that.
And I thought, when she came back and told him, I thought, I'm about to die.
And he laughs.
Dude, hey, man, dude, look. Yeah.
Look, man. God,
oh, that's just her.
God gave me these luscious lips. I can't help it. Oh, it was weird, bro.
Oh, my God.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So why don't we jump into the Alice in Chains interview and I'll give people a glimpse behind how awesome Alice in Chains are. A quick story about Alice in Chains before I even get to it. So I go to that secret show, quote unquote secret. It was really cool. My wife and I got to go and it was phenomenal. 8 songs. They started with Check My Brain from Black Is Way to Blue.
Oh, I love that song.
Then went into Hollow from The Devil's Put Dinosaurs Here. So 2 great songs. Then went into 4 of the new songs off of Rainier Fog. All sounded phenomenal.
Indeed.
Then I thought we're done because I was told there's going to be 6 songs real quick. We're going to have video of it, I think, on KSW.com.
Oh, killer.
Right. So it was really awesome to see them at the Crocodile. And then they just did. Then they busted in, and you just hear that opening drum riff, I guess you could call it, for No Excuses. Which I think is just such a great drum line.
No, it's like a drum hook. And as soon as you hear that,
it's almost like
the levee breaks. As soon as you hear those drums, mm-hmm. you know what song it is.
And I don't know how Kenny nails it every single time. Like, it's perfect every time. And so they do that, and I'm like, great. I mean, you can't ask for anything better. And then they end with Wood.
Nice.
And I was just like, oh. So it was awesome. Then, of course, they throw out all these picks. And I'm like, I'm not a super big pick collector, but I'm like, it'd be kind of cool to have a pick from this show.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around. All of a sudden, right in front of my feet lands a pick. And I'm like, ooh, pick. So I start reaching down. The guy in front of me just stomps his foot on it.
Whoa.
Damn.
And I'm like, I look up. I'm like, well, that was aggressive. And he's like, oh, man, I just really want the pick. I saw the pick. I'm like, yeah, I saw it too. That's why my hand was like inches from your foot that just stomped on it. He goes, it just kind of gives me like, oh, well.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm with my wife. I'm not going to get into a fight.
No confrontation, Steve.
No, I backed off because we were in a funk from other stuff I won't get into. But I was like, I'm not going to make this weird for my wife. We had a great night. Cool, man. Enjoy the pick, douchebag. Right? So I was like, whatever. not going to deal with it. Well, one of our coworkers who's drunk, she's right by us. Like, we had a whole crew of our coworkers, right? She's drunk and just goes off on the guy.
Oh, I thought like body checked.
I don't want to be that guy, but nice.
Yeah, right. Oh,
dude. Tell me what happened next.
So then I'm about to leave, and I'm turning around. I just feel a tap, tap, tap on my shoulder, and the guy's got the pinky. Goes, here, man, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
And I'm like, she browbeat him.
She leveled him.
And I'm like, and I was like, at first I was like, nah, man. And I'm like, no. I'm like, thank you. Take the pick.
Damn straight.
And he's like, I'm real sorry, man. That was out of line, and I'm just really glad I didn't step on your foot. And I looked at him, and I just go, yeah, I'm glad for your sake that you didn't step on my foot either. Because I was pissed, you know,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was a douche move.
Yeah, it was.
And if you stepped on my foot and hurt my foot, I would have killed you.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I have a big show to play the next day. Like, I don't need a broken finger. And he, like, stomped on it. So we walk away, and my wife and I are laughing about it. I'm like, that was awesome about how my coworker, I barely even know her. Honestly, I never talked to her before that night.
Really?
Like, she's just on the other end of the hall. Like, I high buys kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were best friends by the end of that night. And then clearly went to my defense. It was awesome.
She had a knife to that guy's boys.
Here's the best part. It was William Duvall's pick, which made me extra geeked out because I love William Duvall. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's got a W and a D and a line. I put it in my back pocket. Well, I wear the same jeans the next day for Pain in the Grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after we performed, I sweat when I play, so I had an extra pair of underwear and extra pair of socks. So I go into our little dressing room that we eventually get kicked out of because we weren't fancy enough, and you know the cult people are like, everyone needs to leave. So I go in there and change, and the pick must have fell out of my back pocket as I changed the pants, because later on I go into my back pocket and the pick is gone.
It's the funniest thing, too, because when I was in the dressing room that day, I found this William Duvall guitar pick.
You're just like, oh, that's
interesting. And I was like, sweet. And I took it home, and it's part of my pick collection.
Yoink.
It would be better if you put it on eBay, and some guy who has large feet bought it.
Dude, no. Later that night, I bumped into William. I was like, bro, you dropped this. And he was all like, thanks, man.
it's my only pick.
Yeah. I've been looking for that everywhere, man.
I dropped
these
it
two
yesterday.
Guys almost got in a fight in it, and then this girl put a knife to this guy's crotch. Man, thanks. I'm like, no worries, bro.
I thought I was going to have to play Pain in the Grass without a pick. Thank you, Glenn.
When I lose him, Jerry makes me use my fingers like Jeff Beck, and I'm not good at it.
And then there was a moment when we were side stage before Alice, and I saw all the bags of picks. Like, you know, they have a giant... Like,
you should just grab a gross.
I'll take one of these and one of these.
It's like a big, like, you know, 11 by 17 picture frame with like 700 picks in it.
Collect them all.
Oh, I just thought that was hilarious because even my wife and I were joking about it. I'm like, honestly... before this, I said, I'm probably going to lose this pick anyway. It was more of the principle.
Yeah.
This guy was such a douche about it. And then I had to tell my wife the next day, I'm like, babe, you won't believe this. Remember I said, I'm probably going to lose that pick? She's like, yeah. I'm like,
you lost it.
I lost the pick. All because I had to take my pants off.
Yep.
So, oh well, whatever.
You know, it's funny. It just started kind of like, oh, well, neat. And then that turned into more. But I actually had a hell of a guitar pick collection going. Like, some cool, I had a Cantrell one. I had a bunch of, like, whoa, man. And there was a fan that hit up Windowpane that was like, would you please send me one of the picks you guys used on this tour, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, cool.
I took my whole pick collection and mailed it to him.
Really?
Wow.
Just here, man. And he got it, and he was like, dude. And it was everything, and some of them were real hard to find ones, too, like this limited edition Jimi Hendrix pick that Dunlop put out for a tenth of a second.
That's cool.
Just all this random, you know, all these great. And I was just like, you know, they're sitting in a coffee cup.
Exactly.
Oh,
and I sent him to a fan, dude. And he got him. He was like, dude, I just wanted yours. I'm like, eh.
I thought this would be kind of a cool.
Yeah, here, man. Yeah.
Dude, that's a testament to how cool.
Yeah,
when you
were talking about
that's
that,
awesome.
I was like, that reminds me of, you know,
bandmates.
Which is why I grabbed Willie's pick and I'm going to.
Well, it's funny because I have.
I made it into a necklace I'm wearing.
I have a Metallica pick, not that the band gave me, but from that time I did the stage announcement, the manager of the band, after he said all this nice stuff about my stage announcement, gave me the pick. And I was like, I'm going to keep this pick. I'm going to do all this special stuff. It's still in my car, in my glove compartment box, just kind of like somewhere lost in the shuffle.
Now you know it's
but now it's like a good luck
in
pick
there.
In there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's even like after we did the STP performance, we even talked about it on the air. I was like, we had the dilemma. Do I use one of Eric's drumsticks and do I keep the drumsticks?
Yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah, what did you do?
So before we performed, I looked on his setup and he has drumstick holders on his hi-hat stand, similar to what I have, but his only hold one stick, and he has two of them. So he really only had two sticks on there.
You should have just hidden all his stuff. He got like, oh no.
Anyway, he gets off of the riser, he comes up to the mic.
Miggs, where are my sticks?
Give me anyone
my
in the crowd
back.
Have
Miggs,
a stick.
Back to the stage. Please bring the sticks back to the stage.
And I noticed that
Miggs runs off with his kick drum pedal. I got Kretz's pedal, man. I got Kretz's pedal.
Run into my car and I just take off. I take a snare drum.
Where'd Steve?
Yeah! You got another one? Suck it. Well, I look at them, and they're also like a lot. They seemed a little bit thicker than the sticks that I use. And he also wraps them with like a grip tape. Like, so like, I was like, I'm not going to want to play on those sticks because it's just different.
Not you. Yeah.
So I made it a point to carry my sticks with me. But then after I was done, I'm like, I put tape around those sticks. I'm like, I'm never going to use these sticks again. But then I thought about, I'm like, sticks are like $10 a pair. I'm going to use these sticks again. They're brand new. Like, I'm not that guy. What am I going to do? Frame these sticks? What weird thing? I'm framing the sticks that I use that I own.
Frugal Steve shines through at the end of that one.
Like, these are the sticks that called Glenn and asked if he was going to Guitar Center. He said that he was. He got me the sticks, and I played with STP.
One song. What am I going to do with this? No, I'm going to use these sticks again.
Dude, I remember Tony and I were at some show. It was a 10 miles wide show. And Will had split his hand, and his drumstick was, like, covered in blood.
Oh,
whoa.
And Tawny was like, oh, can I have that stick? And Will's like, sure. And her and I at the time were pretty bloused. We were both hammered.
Right.
And so we had this bloody drumstick, which we thought was great at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, you know, we're both kind of like, that was a series of bad decisions, you know. You stagger out into the kitchen, and there's your wallet and your car keys, and there's just blood-soaked brown drum, you know, and it's like... Honey? Yeah.
Oh, boy.
What do you want to do with this? And she's like, oh, God, I hadn't really thought of that. I'm like, yeah.
She threw this away.
Yeah, we did. It was one of those, I love Will, but what exactly is our design for this?
Yeah. You know, she's a biohazard.
Like, yeah, I don't really want it on the wall. It's sort of gross. I'm like, yeah, I know. What do you, maybe just, okay.
Modern art.
Well, I remember when I caught a drumstick from Danny Carey from Tool. And I was like, okay, I've caught a couple things from him, a Gatorade bottle and then one time.
The clap.
Yeah, and the clap. So I caught the stick and I was like, this is awesome. And I even like fought people off for it. Like I had to like really hold on to that thing for dear life. I mean, I had the stick and some other people tried to grab it. I'm like, roar. But then on the next day, I'm like, I'm not going to frame this. I'm not going to put this up anywhere. I don't really it's going to go into a dresser drawer. I love Tool, but I'm not like one of those guys that really cares about that kind of stuff. Like mm-hmm. It's cool if you do. And so I was like, remember Forrest used to work with us.
Production. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was an obsessive Tool fan.
Gave it to him.
So when he was leaving our company to go to like Atlanta or something like that, I was like, mm-hmm. Hey, man, I got a going away gift for you because you've done so many cool things for us.
Oh, see.
And he's like, well, what is it? I'm like, this drumstick. He's like, cool. I'm like, it's Danny Carey's from Tools. He's like, what?
That's so rad.
And that made it worth it.
Yeah, man.
So like, it's like, you know.
Well, different people collect different things, man. Like, some people make these amazing framed. They do that. Actually, I've got a Pearl Jam 45 framed with some guitar picks in it. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, dude, that's rad. You gave that to him.
I wanted it to go into the hands of someone that's actually going to do something other than put it in a dresser drawer and probably forget that I even own it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So that's why it's cool that you did that for that guy with all the picks, because I'm the same way. It's like, well, what am I doing with this? If it's not going to be put on display, then why do I have it?
Exactly. And someone else might, you know, like you did for him, like mind blown. Like, you're kidding me. Yeah. Nah, bro, here.
So if anyone could get their hands on the members of Pearl Jam's hands to write a signature to sign my Seattle poster, that would mean a lot to me.
That would mean so much.
I'm not even asking for you to provide the poster. I have the poster. You just have to provide the bodies to sign it.
Yeah, the way you put it, it was like, so you want me to go lop their hands
off?
Yeah, I mean.
That's fine.
But
you
then
want
after
me to
put
a box full of hands. It's like, Glenn, you didn't read the instructions.
Like, he's just like, provide the bodies. And now I'm like, now this is getting a lot darker.
Okay, just the hands.
Okay.
And you have to master the ability to do their signature with their hands. So if you could do that,
this is the start of a horror.
I'm all about it. Yeah. Probably not. we'd rather keep Pearl Jam with their hands attached to their arms, right?
Just imagine, I imagine your wife seeing Lulu run across the living room.
With a hand?
With a severed human hand.
What's that? Oh, don't worry about it. It's
Steven!
It's
Pearl Jam had the song called Severed Hand.
Oh, baby, that's not real. It looked really real. You know, and Lulu's like, as you're trying to take it away.
It's her new favorite toy, babe.
Oh.
All right. Let's jump into this Alice in Chains interview. This happened last week where they popped into the studio. They was fresh off of their throwing out the first pitch at the Mariners game. So right when we get into this interview, you're going to hear them talking about their first pitch experience. And just it's exactly what you expect from an Alice in Chains interview if you know those guys. I tried to go into it because I was going to be playing all the songs off the new record. So I was like, oh, I'm going to kind of approach it that way with notes. And we're going to like lead into every song. Quickly into it, I realized these guys are not those kind of guys. They're fun-loving dudes that just like to kind of have very off-kilter, random interviews. So I'm just going to forget that I have notes and just have fun with those guys. And it's cool because I got a message on the text line. I saved it because I need these moments of positive affirmation. But I thought it was really cool. This guy said, Steve, you're the best interviewer The Rock has. The Migscast, Migs versus the World of Wrestling, and the Megacast are proof. And I just wrote him back. I'm like, dude, that's too kind. You don't have to say that, but I really appreciate it. And then he goes, I've been following your career subconsciously now, actively since the end. Your skills behind the mic set Seattle apart whatever time you're on. I went to the CPW show, the one where I blew my knee out.
Oh, yeah.
Only because you convinced me that it'd be worth seeing through Migs versus the World of Wrestling. 3 years ago, I would have changed the channel when you brought up the WWE, but your talent making it accessible has made my opinion changed. I'm sure many people's opinion on wrestling. Keep doing this, Scott in Marysville. So, Scott,
super cool.
I wanted to share that because I know that you listened to the podcast, and that meant the world to me so much so that I saved it and emailed it to myself, and I look at it every day when I first wake up in the morning to feel good about life. Okay, I don't do that. But I thought it was really nice, and I just wanted to say thank you.
He dropped his printout of it, and I found it, and I took it home. Yeah. It's framed in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I tried stepping on it, but Glenn's hands were too fast.
Oh, yeah, dude. I made a prison shank out of a drink stirrer, and I got that.
Went right
email.
For the balloon knot.
That's right. The rosebud.
And then he gave me the Russell Wilson, and I haven't been able to walk straight since.
That is awesome, though, Steve. That's
killer. Thank you. Thank you so much, Scott. And let's jump into it. My chat with the guys in Alice in Chains. Here on the Migscast. All right, and then we'll just do our goodbyes.
All right, cool. Go for it.
All right, that's it. Let's get out of here. I got to go see a doctor.
Isn't there normally music playing?
yeah. I pressed the button, but I didn't press the button on the board.
I love you, man.
Yeah. It's falling apart. Is. Everything is falling apart.
So Steve was talking, I was like, this feels weird.
Now it's time to go. Oh, yeah, there's usually music that comes with that.
Do you have anything coming up?
No.
Yeah, and dude, thank you to everyone that pledged for our Bruiser Brody Kickstarter.
Oh, my God. Yes.
We exceeded our goal. We almost hit $7,000, and all we wanted was $2,500. So we're leaving town. We're going to Florida, to Disney World.
To have a pizza party.
To have a pizza party. It's going to be awesome.
I will say it won't be in the month of September. The month of September, I'm literally kind of taking off. Mm-hmm. But I've got some pretty cool announcements coming regarding me.
Awesome.
That I'm very, very excited about. Something I've wanted to do forever. And I'm really, really excited to let that cat out of the bag. That'll be in about 4 to 5 weeks.
And hopefully in the near future, we'll have information about a Bruiser Brody CD release show. The CD will be coming out sometime in October. As always, stay positive. And let's not forget this.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
Thank you, Justin.
Play it again.
My mother... Watch me get my nuts fondled by another man.
One more time for the people in the back.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
God, I love that. That's sticking in my phone forever. It's going to be my ringtone.
It's going to be my ringtone, too.
My mother
Glenn's calling me.
Watch me get my nuts fondled by another man.
For those that want it as their ringtone, we'll be quiet as we do it for you right now.
My mother watched me get my nuts fondled by another man.
It's hard to stay quiet.
It is.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.